Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's scripture reading comes from Genesis chapter 37, verses 1 through 4, 12 through 28. Jacob settled in the land where his father had lived as an alien, the land of Canaan. These are the descendants of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was shepherding the flock with his brothers. He was a helper to the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him an ornamented robe. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all of his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now his brothers went to pasture their flocks, their father's flocks near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers pasturing the flock at Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." He answered, "Here I am." So he said to him, "Go now. See if it is well with your brothers and with the flock, and bring word back to me." So he sent him from the valley of Hebron. He came to Shechem, and a man found him wandering in the fields. The man asked him, "What are you seeking?" "I am seeking my brothers," he said. "Tell me, please, where they are pasturing the flock." The man said, "They have gone away, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. They saw him from a distance, and before he came near to them, they conspired to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes the dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we shall say that a wild animal has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." But when Reuben heard it, he delivered him out of their hands, saying, "Let us not take his life." Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but lay no hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand and restore him to his father." So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the ornamented robe that he wore, and they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat, and looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead, with their camels carrying gum, balm, and resin, on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers agreed. When some Midianite traders passed by, they drew Joseph up, lifting him up out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We've just read this passage from Genesis, so as we reflect on it, let us pray and then hear God's message for us this morning. Lord our God, we are grateful for you, for your grace, for your love, for the forgiveness we have in the name of Jesus, for the fact that you are in control. We thank you also for your word that is so accessible to all of us. As we again read this story of Joseph this morning, my prayer is that you will now speak to us and share the message that you have for all of our hearts, and that we will be ready and open to receive it. And if not, that your Spirit will change our minds and our hearts to be receptive. We pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, you know, time travel movies and TV shows are entertaining and they're quite popular today. And they ask the question of what would happen if you could go back in time and change history. Like the classic movie Back to the Future, where Marty McFly goes back to 1955 and enters the world of his parents when they were teenagers. Anybody's favorite movie, Back to the Future? The Terminator is a classic piece of science fiction. Arnold Schwarzenegger plays a robot sent from the future to 1984 Los Angeles. There are also the superheroes of Avengers Endgame, who use time travel to save the universe from a big purple monster man. And then there's also the popular TV series Outlander, which, by the way, is one of my wife and I's favorite shows, Outlander. Claire Randolph is transported back to Scotland in 1743, and here's where she meets the Highland warrior, Jamie Fraser. Now, all of these time travel movies and shows raise an intriguing question. If you could go back in time and change one thing, what would it be? So let me ask you, what change would you make if you could go back in time? Would you change something in history, prevent some kind of a disaster? Or would it be something personal, change something in the past that happened to you or to your family? Would you do something different? Would you maybe make a different choice? So in the book of Genesis, a man named Jacob settled in the land of Canaan. He had 12 sons, and one of them was named Joseph. And it says, Jacob loved Joseph more than he did any of the other sons, because Joseph was born after Jacob was very old. And Jacob had given Joseph a fancy coat to show that he was his favorite son. And so Joseph's brothers hated him and would not be friendly to him. So of the 12 sons, Joseph was his dad's favorite. Joseph was also a dreamer. And in one of his dreams, there's this message that his brothers would bow down to him. And when they heard this, his brothers said, "So, you're going to rule us? You're going to boss us around?" And they hated him more than ever because of his dreams and the way he talked. So if we could go back in time and change history, we might say to Jacob the father, "Jacob, come on. Not a good idea to play favorites with Joseph, okay? His brothers are hating him as a result of it." When Joseph was 17, he was shepherding the flock with his brothers, and he was acting as a helper. And four of them were misbehaving in the field, and so Joseph brought his father bad reports on them. In other words, he ratted them out. He threw them under the bus. And so if we could travel back in time, we might say to Joseph, "Joseph, come on. Don't be a snitch. Your brothers are going to terminate you." And sure enough, the situation went from bad to worse. Joseph was sent to check on his brothers as they pastured their father's flock. And he found them at a place called Dothan. And it says they spotted him off in the distance. By the time he got to them, they had cooked up a plot to kill him. The brothers were saying, "Here comes that dreamer. Let's kill him and throw him into one of these old cisterns. Or we can say that a vicious animal ate him up, and we'll see what his dreams amount to." And so again, if I could go back in time and give them some advice, we might say to the brothers, "No, don't do it. Don't do it. It's not going to work." and you'll never get away with murder. So fortunately, the oldest brother, Reuben, talked some sense into his younger siblings. He said, "We're not going to kill him, no murder. Go ahead and throw him in the cistern out there in the wild, but don't hurt him." Because Reuben had a plan. He was going to go back later and get him out and rescue him and then take him back to his father. And so you have to give Reuben some credit, right? He made a good decision. In the middle of this tragic tale of favoritism and hatred and snitching and bloodlust, he at least had some common sense. And so when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe and threw him into an empty pit. And then they sat down to eat their supper. But as they were eating, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. And their camels were loaded with spices. And they were carrying precious cargo to Egypt. And then between bites, middle brother Judah said, "Brothers, what are we going to get out of killing our brother and concealing the evidence? Let's sell him. Let's sell him to the Ishmaelites. But let's not kill him. He is, after all, our brother, our own flesh and blood." The others agreed. So they took him out of the well and they sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they took him to Egypt. Now, if we could do some time travel and go back to the past, we might say to the brothers, "Well, you know, I'm glad you didn't kill him. But selling him into slavery, is that a good end game?" And so I have to say, you know, I love this story. The story of Joseph is really one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And it makes me want to go back in time and make some changes to the story. But how about you? Are there some things in history that you would want to change? I'm sure we can all think of maybe some positive choices that would have changed history and improved the world. Overthrow Adolf Hitler before the Second World War. Prevent the Holocaust. Save Lincoln from assassination. Isolate coronavirus before it could spread worldwide. Save Jesus from the cross and the agony of it. And I'm sure all of those choices would have been good for God's people in some really tumultuous times. They would have changed history. Or if you could go back in time, maybe you would change something personal. Maybe you would raise your children differently. Maybe you would have another child. Or follow a different career path. Spend more time with the family. But here's what we should never forget. God is always working toward a surprising conclusion, even when us humans are acting in horrible ways. God can transform those bad things into good. Or when we want things to be different, He has a purpose in mind that is ultimately for our good. And when you read the rest of Joseph's story, you see that he was sold to Potiphar as a slave, one of Pharaoh's officials. So that's bad, we would say, in our world. And then Joseph found favor in Potiphar's sight and was put in charge of his house. That's good. Then Potiphar's wife saw how handsome Joseph was, and she said to him, "Have sex with me." And that's bad. That's trouble. Joseph refused and said, "No way. which is good. But when he didn't want to sleep with her, Potiphar's wife accused him of misconduct, and he was thrown into prison. That's bad. And then God showed him love and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer, and that's good. So you have bad and good and bad and good and bad and good. And what we see is that God is always working toward a surprising conclusion, even when us humans are misbehaving. And so if we were to go back in time and change history, we might actually disrupt the work that God is doing in the world. And then while he was in prison, Joseph became an interpreter of dreams. And eventually he offered insight into the dreams of the Pharaoh. And he was released from prison and he rose to power in Egypt. He became second in command to Pharaoh himself. So this young boy who was sold into slavery by his brothers, he rose up in power, and eventually famine struck the entire region and people from many countries came to buy bread in Egypt. And among the hungry people were, Joseph's brothers. And at first, if you read the story, Joseph did not reveal his identity. They couldn't recognize him, and he treated them harshly. But eventually, he agreed to help them. And then he said this. I'm sorry, I'm missing something here. He said, "You tried to harm me, but God made it turn out for the best so that he could save all these people as he is now doing." He says, "You meant to hurt me, and you did. You hurt me. But God turned your evil into good to save the lives of many, many people." And at the end of the story, Joseph forgave his brothers. And he provided for them as God wanted him to do. "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good." So you see, in every time and place, God is working God's purposes out. In every situation in this world and in your life, God is working his purposes out. And sometimes we humans cooperate with these purposes, and sometimes we don't. But nothing deters or stops God in the work of saving people from destruction. Even the bad things that we would like to change, whether it's in the history of the world or whether it's in your own personal history, they can all be transformed into good. And remember, God is not responsible for the evil that people do. He created us with the ability, with the freedom to make choices. But history shows that God can turn bad into good. God did it with Joseph and his brothers. God did it with Jesus on the cross. God did it with Paul, who moved from a persecutor of the Christian church to an apostle to the Gentiles and one of the greatest Christ followers who ever lived. And so you see, nothing is wasted with God. When Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery, they set the stage for his rise in Egypt. When Jesus died for us on the cross for our sin and was buried, he was put in the right place for resurrection. The zeal of Saul, the persecutor, changed into the passion of Paul, the apostle and Christ follower. Now listen, we've all committed sins. We've all done some bad things. We have all suffered defeats and disappointments in our lives. We've all made some terrible mistakes. We've all been treated horribly at times. We've all missed or wasted some opportunities. You and me both. And we might want to jump in a time machine and change the past. But remember this, as a believer, as a child of God, God is always at work in your life, turning evil into good. And since nothing is wasted with God, there's really no point in trying to change history. We might have the desire to go back in time and change one thing or change 100 things, but there's really no point, because the past is past. So what we should do instead is trust God to transform our future. Trust the Almighty and all-knowing God who loves you unconditionally. Trust that He is ultimately in control and that He knows what's best for you and for me. And so let go of the idea, you know, of changing the past, and trust that God will transform your future instead. Amen. Let us pray. Lord our God, it's so difficult for us when we think back on some of the things that happened in our lives, some of the decisions we made, some of the mistakes, some of the missed opportunities. Or it's so easy to blame others or what happened in the history of the world. Help us today to trust that You are in control, that we simply cannot change the past, that we should not live in the past, that we should trust You, who's all-powerful, who is in control, to transform the future and our futures instead. And ultimately that You, as a loving God, can transform any bad thing that happens into good for Your own purposes and for Your glory. And we praise You and we thank You for that today. In the name of Jesus, Amen.